Let's take our Bibles now and turn to Psalm 121. The title of our message in our brief survey of Psalm 121, just 8 verses, The Faithful Watch Care of Our Lord. Isn't it wonderful to know that as we face a coming year, 2006, as we are reminded in the book of Joshua, chapter 3 and verse 4, ye have not passed this way before. But our sovereign God, who knows the end from the beginning, who transcends time, stands outside of it and sees all in the eternal present. And as Brother Hocking reminded us in our message last Sunday morning, he stamps a big, great Romans 8:28 upon those that love God, those that know Him, those that are committing their lives unto Him. So as we face the uncertainty of 2006, we know that God is in control. These 8 verses present to us 4 observations regarding the watch care of our Lord. Some of you have been night watchmen. Some of you in your past, maybe when you were trying to earn a buck going through school, were a security guard. You walked around with one of those little canteens that you had to turn a key into it all the time. Some of you sometimes have trouble sleeping, and you have a way of kind of watching the hours go by over the night. When I was at Cedarville University studying, I had a roommate. He didn't last very long, just a year. But it was his self-appointed ministry to wake up every hour of the night and say, 1 o'clock and all is well down the corridors of the hall. 2 o'clock and all is well. That was funny for about a day. But his problem was that he was a great watchman overnight, but he slept through chapel. And about 6 months of that got him kicked out of school, and there were some added concerns along with that. But, you know, I'm glad that when the Lord watches over us, we can rest in peace. The Roman gods had a mythological god, small g, called Janus. Some of you that are familiar with mutual funds have heard of the Janus mutual funds. And their logo is a face pointed north and south, back to back. And the idea was that Janus was the god of the new year, the god of the future, small g. But the future was predicated upon a proper understanding of the past. And therefore, he looked both ways, backward to glean the lessons, but also forward for the proper prognostications based upon prior performance. You know, as we look at the new year that's facing us this year, what are the lessons that we learn? Have there been times of weakness, frailties, mistakes that we have made, sins that we have failed to avoid? Are there weights that easily beset us that may not necessarily be sins in and of themselves, but they are things that are detracting from the full scope and perception that God wants us to have, the priorities that He wants us to have in our lives? Well, we're going to look at a few things, a few promises. As I said, we want to devote a great portion of our time in prayer. But let's take a look at 4 observations about our great Lord. And we don't have to look to some mythological god named Janus. We have a loving Savior who promises that all things work together for good to them that love God, who are the called according to His purpose. And even though we have not passed this way before, He has. And we can trust in His loving kindness. In verses 1 and 2, I'd like for us to notice, number 1, that God is our helper. Isn't it wonderful? All of us need help. For some of us, it was putting together those Christmas gifts that we bought for our children. You know what I'm talking about. The ones where you really don't need to read the directions because it's all so obvious. Until you begin the undertaking. And when all else fails, you'll then find out why they included those convoluted directions that you really should have followed. But we need a helper sometimes. It's kind of embarrassing if your wife has to come to help you, or your 10-year-old son, or perhaps grandma has to come and come to the rescue. And I realize that hasn't happened. All of us are skilled engineers and are well able to read all of those directions. But we need help from time to time. Sometimes we have to swallow our pride. Sometimes someone else has to hold the wrench while you're on the other side with the screwdriver. But you know, we need a helper. We can't do it ourselves. And sometimes, you know, we have a tendency to be spiritually self-sufficient and bullheaded. And we fail to realize that we need the Lord's help. We all need the Lord's help in the raising of our families, in seeking His wisdom, decisions that need to be made. Some of you are going to be facing decisions in the year 2006. And you're trusting in God to know not only what to do, but the right timing and the right direction. We need the Lord's help. And the psalmist in this great psalm that is called a Song of Degrees, as people went up to Jerusalem to the feasts, praising the Lord, reciting these precious psalms. Notice, God is your helper this year in 2006. He says, I will lift up mine eyes unto the hills, from whence cometh my help. By the way, did you take your time to seek God's help this morning before you got up and assumed the day's responsibilities and tasks? One of the greatest manifestations of self-reliance and flesh orientation is when we think that we can carry on the Christian life in the energy of the flesh. The psalmist said, Lord, I need your help. One of the reasons why maybe we've had such a difficult 2005 year is because we have tried to do things our way, and God has had to show us, without me you can do nothing. You need to turn the reins over to me. My help, verse 2, cometh from the Lord. Sometimes we have a tendency to think my help cometh from my employer. My help cometh from my financial security. I'm a self-made man. No, our help comes from the Lord. And notice, He made heaven and earth. It's good to have that kind of help. People talk about the Calvary coming at the last minute and rescuing you. Well, our help comes from one who is all-powerful. As I face 2006, I'm thankful that I can turn, you can turn. We tonight can go to prayer to a God who made heaven and earth. And He made it in 6 days, ex nihilo, out of nothing. He is a powerful God. Read about Him in the Scriptures. Not only is God our helper, but the next observation I want you to notice that the psalmist brings to our attention as we face a new year, we need God's help, and it's there if we'll submit to it and call on Him. But secondly, He's not only our helper, but number two, He is our keeper. He is our keeper. Notice verses 3 and 4. He will not suffer. He'll not allow thy foot to be moved. God is able to give stability. This last week, the Pereira family underwent another great testing. Melody's mom was exiting her apartment complex and kind of took a shortcut And the footing was not very stable in that pathway that she took. And she twisted her ankle and over she went. And with an already existing case of osteoporosis, she cracked a rib and broke an ankle. Two clean breaks right through in the ankle. And now she's undergoing difficult, after surgery, rehabilitation. And it's going to be 6 weeks before they can even consider beginning to work on the ankle. It's 6 weeks just to have proper bodily motion to keep congestive heart conditions and lung conditions from developing and all of that. You know, we can stumble. It doesn't take much to stumble. Just a little corner of a sidewalk. Some of you know what it's like to stumble. But you know, the Word of God says when we put our hand in the hand of the Lord, He's able to give us sure-footedness and stability. He'll not suffer us to be moved. He that keepeth thee will not slumber. Our Lord watches over us. He is our keeper. When I was in the Orlando Police Department, part of the uniform that an officer would wear were called keepers. Now, some of you might say, well, what would a keeper be? Some of you might say, is it a Smith & Wesson? No, no. A keeper is actually a vertical strap that you put between your pants belt and the holster belt. And it's two vertical straps that join both together so that when you draw your weapon, you're not like Barney Fife having your gun belt go up to your sternum. And it keeps you firm and sure-footed as you're drawing your weapon. They call it a keeper. Well, we need a keeper. When everything hits the fan and when we're facing trials and testings in life, we need that sure-footedness. Dear people, there are people in the body of Christ that are depending upon our ability to think clearly, think biblically, think scripturally. We need to have that sure-footed stand as a Bible-believing church. Central Florida Bible Church needs to be a church that is standing on the rock and sure-footed, serving God, leading in the community in the truth of God's Word. And He is our keeper. Notice, He does it to Israel. It says in verse 4, He that keepeth Israel neither slumbers nor sleeps. We hear a lot about replacement theology nowadays, don't we? And this is the center of the replacement theology center with R.C. Sproul and all of the teachings that God is through with Israel and that Israel has been replaced by the church. You know, if that's true, then God is slumbering. But He hasn't forsaken His people whom He has foreknown. He still has a future for His people. And He will not suffer Israel to be moved, neither His children. God is our helper. And you know, He's also our keeper. I'm thankful that God is able to keep not only that which I committed unto Him at that great day, but also as my children go out and they go out into the world and they go about their responsibilities and tasks. Dad's not going to be there. Mom's not going to be there. But you know, you commit them into the hands of one that is able to keep them. And God's Word is the keeper. The Lord is thy keeper. I want you to look with me at the third promise that we have about the watch care of our Lord. Not only is our helper and our keeper, He is our protector. He is our protector. It says in the latter part of verse 5, He's the shade upon thy right hand. I'll tell you what, you know what shade is all about. You know how wonderful it is. My boys have been working at Florida Cactus over the summer. And it can get pretty hot in those nurseries. And when you're able to work under a shade tree, you really do appreciate it. How wonderful shade can be. Well, the Lord preserves us and protects us. Verse 6 says, "The sun shall not smite thee by day, nor the moon by night." He is our protector. And then quickly, let's look at verses 7 and 8. We have a God who helps us. He keeps us. He protects us. And oh, how the devil would love to sift us as wheat, like Christ told Peter in Luke 22. Satan would sift you as wheat, but I've prayed for you. And when you're recovered, strengthen the brethren. Well, the Lord is praying and making intercession for us. He's our preserver. Look at verses 7 and 8. "The Lord shall preserve thee from all evil." Now, does that mean we're going to have a primrose tiptoe through the tulips experience and never have trials and testings? No, He'll keep us not only from the evil one, but He'll keep us from evil in the sense of Romans 8:28, that God is even able to take the calamities that may come our way in a fallen world, considering that we have corruptible bodies, corruptible minds, corruptible natures, considering all of that, the Lord is able to take the calamities of life and turn them around for His glory and His purpose. He'll preserve us from all evil. He shall preserve our soul. It says in verse 8, "The Lord shall preserve," and here's a Hebraism, "He'll preserve thy going out and thy coming in." That's a Hebrew way of saying all of the matters that pertain to life. Going out and coming in. You remember Solomon in 1 Kings chapter 3 and verse 7 when he said, "I don't know how to go out or come in. How can I be a king? Give me an understanding heart." The Lord gave him wisdom for the day-to-day needs that he would face. You know, isn't it wonderful to know that we can face 2006 not only together as the family of God, Central Florida Bible Church, and we can be in watch care and prayer over one another, and that we can encourage each other and pray for one another. And that's such an encouragement to me to know that you're praying for me as your pastor and we're serving the Lord together and that we can depend upon each other and encourage each other. That's wonderful. But more than that, we have our Lord and Savior who's already been there, and He promises to be our helper, our keeper, our protector, and our preserver. And we have burdens. I am sure that there are people here tonight that have burdens. You have burdens on your heart. Well, let's commit those burdens unto the Lord who has this fourfold ministry. And you know, burdens are lifted at Calvary. The Lord is able to encourage our hearts. Yeah, let's be like Janus in a sense that looks backward. Yes. But let's repent, confess those frailties of the flesh, weakness, sins, transgressions. Let's look forward to the Lord who is able to give us the victory through the Lord Jesus Christ. May 2006 be a growing time for every one of us. And may each one of us be in the place where we can clearly discern His will because we're abiding under the shadow of the Almighty. Let's pray. Father, I pray for each and every one listening to this message, whether it be here in this little sanctuary or through our internet ministry or our tape ministry. Lord, as we face this coming 2006 year, thank You, dear Lord, that You are our faithful Lord, watching carefully over us. Father, bless each and every life, each and every family represented. Bless our church family. Bless church ministries that may, Lord, listen to this message. And Lord, may You use Your word and apply it through the Holy Spirit to the meeting of special needs in hearts and lives. Bless us now as we go to prayer and share special requests together this evening. And we'll give you the glory for what you'll do. In Jesus' name, through His precious blood, we pray. Amen.